evidence on what is admittedly an obscure subject, there are two kinds of celebrity biker. There are those who take to two wheels after they've acquired considerably more money than sense, and they can usually be spotted in the centre pages of the less than salubrious Sunday papers, wearing nothing more than a pair of excruciatingly tight leather trousers and a cheeky grin, talking about how much they love having something big and powerful between their legs, when their actual biking experience consists of wobbling round corners on a primary school car park on a 125. Then there are those who were born with Castellar coursing through their veins, with biking in their blood. And they see their status as a means to amassing more motorcycles than any man could possibly want or need. In that latter category, there'd be Andy Kershaw, Peter Armitage, better known as Bill Webster from Coronation Street, and Eric Richards, alias Sergeant Cryer from The Bill. Eric's just narrated a video chronicling the history of that legendary British manufacturer Triumph, but his own stable of iron stallions betrays more Catholic taste. Graham Swain has been along to meet him and check out his collection.
Eric, we're standing here with a multiplicity of bikes, and these are all yours, aren't they?
Correct, yes. I think I paid for them all anyway.
No one's coming after them.
That's right.
What are we standing next to as we speak, the one that you just revved up? Now, that's interesting in itself. It's got a big sidecar, boxes, and all sorts of bulging bits on it.
Well, that's what makes it interesting, because they're quite rare now in this country, which is a motorcycle with a sidecar. This is a Moto Guzzi California 1100 injection with a Longhi Italian sidecar on it, which Tina, Jack, Sophie and I, those are my children and my wife, we go on holidays. We go to Spain, we go to France, we go to Italy, we go wherever, and this is what we would use.
How many bikes have you actually got? There's a lovely collection here, isn't there?
Yeah.
Run through them, basically. Let's have a look
well,
at one over here.
The one parked right behind here, which is obviously the thing I go to work on every day, and this is a serious piece of modern fun kit. It's a Suzuki 600 GSXR, which is the state of the art. It's a fabulous bike, and after we finish this interview, after we finish chatting, I should be getting on this and going to work on it, you know. And my mates at work know that that's what's going to arrive, Eric, on his Suzuki. We've mentioned the Moto Guzzi and the Italian sidecar. Then in the garage, we've got...
This is your love, Italian fare, isn't it?
Well, yeah, as I mentioned to you when we were chatting on the phone the other day, you know, I have a Ferrari, I have a Ducati, I have an MV Agusta, I have two Moto Guzzis, I have an old Gilera, I have an old Marini. So it might be that I do like things Italian. A bottle of Montepulciano doesn't go down too bad either.
Well, I think you're dropping into an interview with me, aren't you? Let's go and have a look at the bikes. As we walk into the garage, I mean, if anybody is a motorbike fan, you would just glory at what we're looking at here. And, of course, red is the predominant colour here.
I know it's difficult not to have a red bike if it's Italian. I suppose it's like owning a Ferrari. Everyone buys their first Ferrari in red. And my first Moto Guzzi was in red. But I find it difficult to go away from them, that MV that we're looking at.
Which is the one over the far side on the ramp, as they say.
Yeah.
Lovely, beautiful shaped tank, and it's a glorious scarlety red, isn't it?
Well, it is the equivalent, you know, to something like a Ferrari Boxer of the middle 70s, you know, or a Daytona. I mean, it really is particular. By today's standards, it's leaden, it's top heavy, its brakes are poor, it's not that fast, but boy, the noise.
So what's this engine in it? It looks unbelievable.
It's an 800cc across the frame, four-cylinder overhead cams, taken from the racing design of the time, when MVs in up till the early 70s were unbeatable. You know, Mike Hailwood, Surtees, Duke, all those people rode for MV, Phil Reed. And they couldn't be beaten.
Over the back here.
Well, 'cause I keep
the twin headlights with a lovely angular style.
Anyone who knows anything about bikes knows the 916, and this is the 916. I mean, I've enthused about my MV Agusta being a classic, an Italian classic. Well, this is the modern Italian classic. You know, it just looks glorious standing still, doesn't it? When you're on it, it's just out of
this
world.
It's spelt and sexy is the way I describe it.
I like that.
Why have you got all these bikes, Eric?
Yes, indeed. Why have I got all these bikes?
Classic journalist question.
I know, the classic... Why? I mean, well, you can gather from this conversation that none of it is about owning and collecting. It's not
your eyes
saying,
are drooling. It's how you have as you talk about them.
It is, and it is just, I love the stuff. You know, I love the internal combustion engine, all the things it's done. I know it's not the best PC thing to say at the end of the 20th century to say that you love the internal combustion engine, but I do. I love the noise it makes. I love the excitement it gives you. And I will have lived through a time which will never come again. My grandchildren in 50 years' time will look back and say, what on earth was my grandfather up to? What were those people doing in the 20th century? Because by the middle of the 21st century, this will all be over. Mm. But hopefully some of the stuff that I've got here will be in a museum, and my grandchildren will come and look at it and say, I wonder what that was like when it was on the road. Well, I've got the joy of having it on the road.
Let's make this clear, though. You're not just someone who buys these bikes and sticks them in the garage and fossilises them. They actually all work and you use them and love them.
They're apart from the ones I said that are being restored, they all go out at some time or another, yeah. And as I said to you earlier, the Suzuki will go out today. I shall go to work on it, you know. Yesterday, Jack and I, my son, we were out on the sidecar outfit. We decided it was a miserable kind of Sunday, but it was dry enough, so the two of us got out and we went out and did 50, 60 miles.
Now, I'm a reborn scooter boy.
Never mind.
But I've just gone back to scooters after years that we won't mention.
Mm.
Do you, like me, feel that, you know, you get those days, you get home, you've had a hard day on the set, and just getting the bike out for half an hour, or, you know, I know you ride one to work and back, just getting one of these old faithfuls and just spinning them around the roads, is that...
There's no way around it. It is, for me, the major therapy. I mean, there's lots of things in my life that I enjoy. I enjoy my work, of course. I love going to the theatre. I love cinema. I love music. But if I want real therapy, if I really want to just chill out or loosen up or whatever the modern phrases are, I just get one of my bikes out and go for a ride, whatever the weather. Yeah. And if you take it in extension and you go on holiday, as we do, and you take the outfit, for instance, and you go across the Alps and you go down into Italy, I mean, there's just nothing like it. Nothing like it.
How did you get hooked on bikes, Harry? I mean, this is an obsession to
a certain extent. Well, it's odd because my family had no interest in vehicles at all. My father didn't even drive. I mean, we're talking 40s, 50s now. Although he did ride bicycles and regularly, and he used to like to travel on his bicycle. So perhaps I got that aspect from him, the idea of having the freedom that motorised transport gave you. So I bought myself a motor scooter to go to work on in 1959.
What was that?
It was a Zundapp Bella.
Which was like a tank on wheels.
It was actually, yes. It was.
I'm old enough to remember those.
Like a hip bath upside down. With a 200 two-stroke engine and a frame and a self-starter. Self-starter in 1959, as I thought.
Unique.
Yeah. Anyway, I bought that, and it really was just to go to work on. But within a couple of months, I had just fallen in love with single-track vehicles. And I've never been with... No, I was about to say never been without one. In 1964, I passed my driving test, so I sold the BMW that I owned at the time, an R69, and I bought a frog-eyed Sprite. Had it during the winter, but I soon realized that as much as I still like cars, they can't give me what motorcycles give me. And so since the spring of 65, I've never been without a motorcycle, either lent up against the wall or in the curb or in a garage. There's always been something. And some of it has been quite interesting, you know, beat up old MZs worth 20 quid, you know, when I've been really skint. So it hasn't always been glorious Italia.
How have you come by all these bikes?
Well, they gather themselves about you, you know, like when the... take you at the very top. I mean, the Ducati, when I was in Milan when they launched the Ducati, and I said to my mate, I can't do that. I can't go out and pay whatever it was, 10 grand for a new vehicle. It's nonsense. I came home and I phoned a mate and I said, get me one of those Ducatis. So it was that, you know. The MV came about because someone I knew was selling it on. And again, I thought, I can't go to my grave not having owned an MV. And that's all it is. I just want to have them around me, ride them, look after them and enjoy them. None of them are here to make me money. I don't collect them thinking, well, you know, in 10 years' time I'll sell that on. And I think any of us that are interested in vehicles will find that it's been a sad time, the 80s, when people got into them, in the same way they did in the art world, where people were buying things only to make money and putting them in heated garages and they were never seeing the light of day. I believe in the kind of John Surtees world, really, where you get the vehicles, you get them out, and you make them work. You get them wet, and you get them dirty, and then you bring them back and you clean them.
That is it. That's your lot.